Madhava Kunja Bihari Dharada Madhava Kunja Bihari
Paramhansak Parigravacharya Astotarasat His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna all glories to the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayet nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya
भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी.
हे कृष्णा, टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 15 वर्स 22 to 25. सो वी विल डू वर्स 22 टुगेदर, वर्ड फॉर वर्ड. फर्स्ट फलानी, द फ्रूट्स, तत्रा, देयर, भूरीनि, वेरी मेनी, पतन्ति, आर फॉलिंग, पतितानि, हैव ऑलरेडी फॉलन, च एंड, सन्ति, दे आर, किंतु, हाउएवर, अवरुद्धानि, kept under control, dhenukena, by dhenuka, duratmana, the evil one, palani tatra bhurini, patanti patitani cha, santi ketva avaruddhani, धेनुकेन दुरात्मना फलानि तत्र भूरिणि पतन्ति पतितानि च शान्तिकेत्वा अवरुद्धानि धेनुकेन दुरात्मना. फलानि तत्र भूरिणि पतन्ति पतितानि च सन्ति केत्वा वृद्धानि धेनुकेन दुरात्मना फलानि तत्र भूरिणि तानि च सन्ति केत्वा वृद्धानि. Mothers, Lani Tatva Gurini Santi Patitani Cha Santi Kitva Vidhani Denukena Duratmana. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. In that Talavan forest, many fruits are falling from the trees and many are already lying on the ground, but all the fruits are being guarded by the evil Dhenuka. Purport. The demon Dhenuka would not allow anyone to eat the delicious ripe palm fruits of the Talavan, and Krishna's young boyfriends protested this unjust usurpation of the right to enjoy the fruits of a public forest. Text 23. I'll just read the translation through. O Ram, O Krishna, Dhenuka is a most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. Text 24. The demon Dhenuka has eaten men alive, and therefore all people and animals are terrified of going to the Tala forest. O Kulir of the enemy, Even the birds are afraid to fly there. Purport. The cowherd boyfriends of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram encouraged the two brothers to go at once to the Thala forest and kill the ass demon. Indeed, here they address the brothers as Amitrahan, killer of the enemy. The cowherd boys were engaged in ecstatic meditation upon the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and reasoned thus, Krishna has already killed terrible demons like Baka and Aga. So what is so special about this obnoxious jackass named Dhenuka, who has become public enemy number one in Vrindavan? The cowherd boys wanted Krishna and Balaram to kill the demons so that all the pious inhabitants of Vrindavan could enjoy the fruits in the Thala forest. Thus they requested the special favor that the ass demons be killed. Text 25. In the Thala forest are sweet-smelling fruits no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we can smell the fragrance of the Thala fruits spreading all about. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the sweet fragrance of the Thala fruits was carried by an easterly wind which is conducive to rain in the Vrindavan area. This easterly wind generally blows in the month of Bhadra and thus indicates the excellent ripeness of the fruits, while the fact that the boys could smell them indicates the nearness of the Thala forest. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakya chakshurminitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha vanchakalpatubhyascha kripasindubhe evacha patita nam pavnebhyo shri shri vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So we have five verses. I would like to focus on the point in which the first point is which I would like to focus on was that the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna are they are encouraging, or they are actually inciting the lords Krishna and Balaram to go into the Thala forest. And one would think, or one would say, oh, the boys are eager to eat, and might think that they are greedy, that they want to eat because they're smelling such nice fragrance. But the boys are exalted, self-realized devotees, and they're self-realized souls who are not greedy, but they are actually encouraging the Lord to go there and kill the demons because they would like to see many heroic feats of the Lord, just like they saw that Krishna killed Agasura and Bakasura and so many other demons. So it's like they are by telling him that, oh, he has eaten men alive. In this verse, in verse 24, they're telling him of the prowess, so-called prowess of Dhenuka, that he's eaten men alive, and everybody is terrified. So they are kind of saying to him, strength is negligible compared to yours, O Krishna, so let's go. And they are so confident that Krishna will kill him and all the other demons there. So it's part of their pastime that they are they want Krishna to go there sooner than later so that they could relish that pastime of Krishna killing the demons. And in the next verse, they're talking about, the cowherd boys are talking about the sweet-smelling fruits, and you would think that, like it's mentioned in the purport, nobody has ever eaten those fruits, or nobody has tasted those fruits. How can they tell how tasty they are? So the acharyas tell us that the trees are very dark in color. This is, I think this is Sri Kavi Karnapur. The trees are dark in color, and that by the darkness of the trees, they can tell that these trees have very tasty fruits. The fruits, and then the fragrance of the fragrance which is coming from the fruits because of the wind which is blowing, by the fragrance you can tell that the fruits would be very ripe and they would be very tasty. And I can attest to it when I was growing up in India that in the summer season the very hot breezes are blowing and they are called loo. And the breeze is so hot that you can't even tolerate it. But it is said that the hotter the breeze, the tastier the mangoes would be that season. because you actually can smell the fragrance of the mango buds and the mango fruit itself. You can smell the fragrance, even though it's so hot, but the fruit, the smells of the mango buds and the mango fruits are so enlivening, and you can tell that the fruits will be very, very sweet. So, and in that sense, eating the seasonal fruits and vegetables are actually very healthy for the body, and they're also very tasty, because in that period when the seasons change and the fruits get the ripeness, the body is also ready to accept those fruits. Because nowadays we have fruits from all over the world or all over the place, and you can go at any time and get every fruit or vegetable you want. But I was just looking online to check. I just put in seasonal, eating seasonal fruits, and there were so many, so many things showed up, because nowadays we are talking about, you know, the organic movement is growing, and it is actually, we understand from a health point that it is very good to eat seasonal fruits and vegetables. The nutrition level is like considered 3 times higher. And of course, from the ecological point of view, we don't have to transport the fruits and vegetables and from such far distances. But also from a Krishna conscious perspective, we know that if we do things locally, then we don't have to make so much endeavor. And if we don't have to make so much endeavor, we don't have to get so much distracted from the main goal of our lives, is to figure out who we are and to figure out what our goal is, and then to engage in the loving devotional service of the Supreme Lord and go back and not be staying here and suffering again and again, making all these extra endeavors, atyahara, you know, collecting more and more. We collect so much. And ultimately, we actually have nothing, because if we collect more and more and not engage in Krishna consciousness, then it's like, what do they say, that you have everything, but if you don't have your soul, then what's the point? I think something like that says in the Bible. So in that sense also, it's very, very makes sense to you know, have things which are in season. So anyway, I also was reading from the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, and this is Sri Akkavi Karnapur's ecstasies on the 10th canto, on the pastimes of Krishna. And on the pastime of this killing of the Dhenukasura, it's a very poetic description, and I thought I would read parts of it, parts of which are not in the Bhagavatam, as the verses will open up about this pastime. So I thought I would read some of it. So the cowherd boys are approaching the Lord. With a stream of honey-dipped words, the boy spoke to Krishna, who is generous, attractive, expert in all types of sports, full of matchless strength, and the best among all worthy persons. The cowherd boys said, "O Krishna, O supreme enjoyer and all-powerful one, please hear us. Our bodies can no longer tolerate the severe hunger we feel. Nearby is a forest of thala trees full of mouth-watering fruits. The sweet aroma of those ripened fruits attract our minds. Simply shaking the trees will bring all the luscious fruits to the ground." Luscious, luscious fruits. Huh? "Our desire to have those fruits is very great. If you think it's a good idea, then let's go to the thala forest." So after hearing this, Krishna agreed to go. And so they're talking about now he's talking about the branches of the trees. They bend down from the weight of the ripened, bright orange thala fruits. The tightly packed clusters of fruits appeared like one big fruit. The fruit trees practically touched the clouds and were beyond the reach of the common people. The fragrance of the thala fruits pleased the entire earth. Being greedy for that fragrance, the wind stole it. I thought it was so poetic. The wind was greedy for the fragrance of the fruit. It stole it and made a rustling sound in the leaves of the trees as it ran away. Krishna glanced happily at those trees and gave the command, "Pick the fruits." So the cowherd boys threw stones at the thala fruits with their restless hands, And then now Dhenuka is appearing, and this pastime is described in the verses coming up. But there was one description which I would like to read more is, before the invincible lords, Dhenuka looked like a grasshopper jumping into the fire. Intending to kill them, he charged Balaram and violently kicked the lord's chest with the hooves of his hind legs. With the fingers of his left hand, Balaram seized Dhenuka by his hooves and threw him into the top of a palm tree. And then, further up about the fruits, as they were thrown into the trees, abundant fruits fell from the trees and piled up on the ground below, which turned muddy from the juice of so many broken fruits. The boys threw the unripe fruits around in play. Knowing the rules of purity, however, they did not touch the fruits contaminated by the blood of the demons. Just smelling the strong fragrance of the tala fruits satisfied them. Actually, it's mentioned further up in the one of the last verses of this pastime that the fruits were eaten only by the Pulindas, who are considered low caste, I understand. Only they ate those fruits because they were touched by the blood of the demons. So people in general did not eat those fruits. However, the forest became safe for the Vrajavasis. And as we heard in yesterday's verse, that it was halfway between Mathura and Vrindavan. So we can understand a lot of people were going back and forth from Vrindavan to Mathura. So it was very unsafe when all these demons were, all the ass demons were roaming around in this forest. So I would like to address one more thing, which I know many of you already know about, but I didn't know particular pastime was, why did Balaram kill Dhenukasura? Can anybody share? Why not Krishna, when both the cowherd boys addressed both of them, but Balaram killed Krishna, killed Dhenukasura and not Krishna?
What?
Yeah, I should have said not other than Pushkar Prabhu. Yeah, actually, Dhenukasura was, as you were telling yesterday, Pushkar Prabhu, that his name was Sahasika, and he was actually the son of Bali Maharaj. And Krishna, as Narsingha Dev, had promised Prahlad Maharaj that he would not kill any of his family or any of his descendants. So Krishna did not kill, but Balaram was not bound by such promises. So Balaram killed Dhenukasura, and Dhenukasura, like Pushkar Prabhu was telling yesterday, that he represents, like all these demons represent some of the anarthas which we have to pull out of our hearts as we are progressing in our devotional life. And Dhenuka represents the gross discrimination that we have. The discrimination we have based on caste, color, creed, that oh, this is an American devotee, this is an Indian devotee, or this is even talks about institutional consciousness. We get the institutional consciousness that this person belongs to this particular group, so this is, this devotee is more superior, or so all those consciousness which we have as we are going, progressing in our Krishna consciousness, we need to get rid of those discriminations which are based on our bodies, or it's called the ass-like foolishness, mudha foolishness, that we continue to harbor in our hearts. We need to get rid of them. And like the ass demons were keeping all the fruits to themselves, we can question ourselves, who are we to prevent others from enjoying the fruits which Krishna has given for everyone? And particularly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about it, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur has talked in great detail about the particular anartha is that we want to, all the scriptures which are there, which are given by the previous acharyas, we want to just hoard them and keep them for ourselves. We don't want to share with all the other people. And we know that from, I guess over here it is, in the Catholic Church or in the Christian churches, everything was in Latin and common people did not know that language, or in our Vedic literature, it is Sanskrit. And most people don't understand Sanskrit as time went on. The caste Brahmanas are just keeping it to themselves. So if they keep the people in ignorance, then the people will not know about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and they will not know how to make the endeavor to go back to Godhead. So whatever they say, people will just follow that. So they were keeping them in, and so more and more people were not allowed to study Sanskrit. But Srila Prabhupada has opened the treasure house. He translated it not only into English, but now in hundreds of languages all over. So everybody in the world can actually access this literature. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, so that this Dhenugasura-like tendency, which is present in so many of us, to keep the scriptures, to keep the holy name to ourselves, has opened up and it's available for everyone. And by His mercy, we have Shri Krishna Balaram here, and we can pray to Balaram that the tendencies we have of gross discrimination, that he can fling it out of our hearts and throw it high up into the trees and throw it away, so we can make advancement and we can keep on going forward in our Krishna consciousness and not get stuck. And if we actually examine our hearts, and I know personally I can identify with that I see something, or if I see something amiss, I immediately judge and I immediately start thinking about, oh, because this person is from this part of the world, or this person is like, you know, whatever I may categorize them in, and then that's actually an anartha, because that's actually going to impede my advancement and my serving and surrendering to the Lord. So let's pray to Balaram that by meditating on this pastime, we actually make advancement and that we become more surrendered to His lotus feet. Thank you so much. If there's any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Tattvavet Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Sri Vrindavan. Thank you for your class. I have a question about your saying that many of us might have this feeling of keeping the shastras or the treasures of Krishna consciousness towards ourselves. The reason I'm questioning it is because almost everybody in ISKCON becomes enlivened by the fact that Srila Prabhupada openly distributed Krishna consciousness and encouraged us to do that. So don't we actually have that spirit of, you know, giving it to others? Why do you say that we want to hold it to ourselves?
No, what I was saying was two things I can say. One is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about this particular anartha, and as I pointed out that as far as the caste Brahmanas, or as far as, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was seeing how the scriptures were just kept within a particular section of society, and he was making the comparison to what Dhenugasura was doing. So yes, in the line of Srila Prabhupada, we are actually being empowered by Srila Prabhupada, and coming in disciple succession from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to distribute this knowledge and distribute this knowledge. Of course, we are, some of us might have hesitation or shyness in giving it, but they're not they're not inimical to other people accepting it or taking it. So I'm sorry if I gave the impression that we as disciples or followers of Srila Prabhupada are trying to keep, because our whole movement is based on distributing it. But I was mentioning the people, you know, like say even 100 years from, or maybe 50 years ago also. I mean, I know for myself, I knew Sanskrit when I was in fourth grade, I think. Started studying Sanskrit because it was a requirement, but it was just like, you know, basic I am going, or all just the grammar and stuff. But I would never even thought that I would study the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit, because It was a requirement, but it was not. It really didn't make you a Sanskrit scholar, or even person who could study read a story in Sanskrit. We had to study a story. We had one story which we could recite, you know, verbatim, and then one story we could write the answers of, and that was all we could do by the end of eighth grade. I didn't really know much of Sanskrit, so. That was because I think the government was trying to push that, you know, okay, so we can learn some Sanskrit. But most people don't really, most of us don't know the Sanskrit language. So if Srila Prabhupada had not opened it up and made available to us, we would have still been in that ignorance. Yes, Sitari Prabhu.
Two things. It reminded me of, I was reading in one of Dasarath Sutta's books, the story of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that when he went to Vrindavan, this was after the Goswamis had already left, but he saw one of his passions was to teach Sanskrit. Before he moved to Vrindavan, he taught Sanskrit. And he had a school and everything, and because he realized that the only way to really transmit the real depth of Krishna consciousness was through that language. But when he was very compassionate, like our Srila Prabhupada, and while he was in Vrindavan, he realized that the local people were not able to really get the esoteric writings of the Goswamis. So he worked with Baladev Vidyabhushan, and they expanded the Goswamis' writings in such a way that the common people of the village could actually get more out of it. Mm-hmm. So there's another example of. The acharyas having compassion, but one other thing that is kind of a funny story. Devotee from New Vrindavan. Oh, come on. I'm trying to think of his name. But anyway, he was telling me a story of who's our Chaitanya Charitamrita scholar from New Vrindavan? Barshana Maharaj. He was telling me a story that, he's trained a lot of donkeys up there, which is kind of a cross with the ass, but. He was saying that one time he used to haul wood and stuff along the roads there in New Vrindavan, and he had these donkeys trained. They could just like pull anything. And some local people there would kind of sometimes not like it, and they would come and give him a hard time. So one time he was on the road there with his wagon, and he had the donkeys hooked up, and this truck pulled up alongside. The wagon was giving him a hard time, and so he was watching. And pretty soon, these donkeys picked it up because he trained them. And one of the donkeys, he kind of cantered a little bit, and with his hind legs, he just kicked the truck right off the road. So there's some good aspects to those animals. Anyway, funny story.
Thanks. Anybody else? Let's go, Prabhu. Jai Prabhupada.
Many times, especially in the last few months of Prabhupada, he was quoting one verse, and I think it's some 10.1, Saraswati Kal. It's describing how Devaki was there just like a pot, a fire in a pot blazing, but you can't, no one could see, she's in the prison, but Krishna's in her womb. And so, and that's compared to a Brahmins keeping knowledge and not distributing. Kala means envious. So they're keeping Saraswati, and he would always go back and quote that verse. I tried to memorize it, and I'm going to go back right now as soon as I go home, open it up and look at it. But it's a great verse, and probably just quote the last line or something, but it's the whole verse is Kamsa. It talks about Kamsa Gehe, the house of Kamsa. And he was always quoting that. Every day he would quote that verse, how they're keeping, you know. Because right at the end, he was just hitting everything like the essence, how you have to distribute, not like these so-called, you know, it's due to them. He said all the whole Vedic culture has gone to hell because they didn't distribute. They're simply keeping. It wasn't just keeping. This is, you know, so it's not like it ended with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It probably took up the, in the heart, and he distributed. But, I mean, Prabhupada knew. He had the full realization. He may not have given those particular analogies. We might wonder, well, Prabhupada didn't give Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why didn't he give it? He could have given every one in Krishna book. But I think he thought that we would just take everything as a symbol or as a, not get distracted or something, and then start interpreting everything. But he was quoting this, not particularly Dainika, but that they're just envious and keeping the knowledge. And probably it was the antithesis.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Grand Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.